Well, open your Bibles with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. I'd like to read verses 8 through 13. Verse 13 will be my text. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put on his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Here's my text. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The fire upon the altar of God, the brazen altar, it shall be burning. It shall never go out. We're going to use this passage this morning to consider four things that this fire may symbolize to us. Four things that, as that fire was to never go out, four things that will never go out. But before we look at these four things, I want to point out two truths about this fire. This fire which was to never go out. God commanded Moses to speak to Aaron the priest and command the priest that the fire on that altar was to never, ever go out perpetually. It was to be burning. The first thing I want to point out about this fire on this altar, if you look to chapter 9 of Leviticus and verse 24, it was fire which came out from before the Lord and consumed the offering upon the brazen altar. Verse 24. And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. The tabernacle that God had commanded Moses to rear up, gave him all the specifications of that tabernacle had been set up, and now they've come to consecrate Aaron and his sons in the priesthood, and God sent fire. The scripture tells us it came out from before the Lord. We're not sure exactly what that means. It could have been fire like came down on Mount Carmel, when Elijah confronted those false prophets of Baal, and he prayed a very simple prayer there. Remember, and fire came from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and licked up the water that was around the altar. But most likely it came out of the Holy of Holies, that place in the tabernacle, that compartment where no one entered except the high priest, and he only once a year and never without blood. Between the cherubim, God took up his residence there. That's where God manifested his presence, the Shekinah glory. And it could be that this fire came out from there. But it did so in such a way that all the people were so awed, so overwhelmed with this fire, they shouted and fell on their faces. So the first thing about this fire, which was to never go out, God commanded these priests every morning there to put wood on this altar or on this fire so that it will never go out throughout all your generations. This fire, keep it burning. It was special fire. It came out from the Lord. The second thing about this fire, it was a sanctified fire. If you notice in chapter 10, just after that last verse of verse 9, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, this was his oldest two sons of the high priest Aaron, they took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon. Now notice this, and offered strange fire before the Lord. Where did they get that fire? We don't know, but we do know this, they did not get it from that fire on the altar. It was strange fire. It came from somewhere else. That fire upon the altar was sanctified fire. It was set apart by God, and it was to never go out. And these two men, they offered strange fire before the Lord, and God killed them immediately, the scripture says. They offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. It's a serious matter, isn't it? You know, everything about God is serious. Everything about your relationship to God, my relationship to God, is serious. See these services or these churches advertising contemporary and traditional worship. And I'm afraid that most of them by contemporary mean a type of worship where the reverence of God, the awe of God, is not to be observed. There's more time of backslapping, hoolahs, rather than bowing down before the holy Lord God to hear from heaven and to worship him. Well, there's four things I want this fire upon the altar, which was to never go out, to symbolize this morning. There are other things, I know. But first, it may be typical of the written word of God. That is that book that you have in your hands this morning. That book that I have open before me on this desk today. That fire which was to never go out, it may be a type of the written word of God which shall never go out. Which shall never go out. The Lord Jesus Christ declared, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. People change. Traditions change. Society changes. What is accepted changes. God's word never changes. It's settled forever in heaven. This fire is to never go out and will never go out. And the Lord himself compared his word to fire in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. He said, is not my word like as a fire? Isn't my word, this written word, isn't it like a fire? Fire, when we think of God's written word and this fire which would never go out, being typical of the written word, let's remember this about fire. Fire gives off light and it gives off heat. Light and heat. The psalmist said this, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. The word of God gives light, gives understanding to the simple. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul tells us that the same God who in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. There was no light until God said, let there be light. And just as soon as God said, light be, light was. The Apostle Paul tells us that the same God who shined in the beginning, in that first week of creation, he must shine in our hearts. If a person is to be saved, if a person is to be forgiven their sins and know God as their God and Father, then God, he must command the light, the written word of God he uses to shine into our hearts. Paul said to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But listen, the light must shine in our hearts, first of all, to teach us why we need a Savior. Why is it? Preacher, you're up here talking about a Savior every Sunday. You're here speaking about a Savior. Why do we need a Savior? Well, apart from the written word of God, men will never know. God uses his word to teach us, to show us. You're not going to learn it from society. You're not going to learn it from philosophy. You're just not going to learn it. These things of the world will tell us we're all okay. We've made a few mistakes. Sure we have. Nobody's perfect. We need the Word of God to shine in our hearts to tell us what the problem really is. It's not our environment. We can't put this off on our parents or our grandparents or... No, no. The problem is we all come into this world depraved. People don't like that word depravity, do they? But it's a good word. It teaches us that when Adam sinned, when man fell in the garden, we became totally depraved. That doesn't mean every man is as bad as he could be. There's some men that are Hitlers. Not everyone is. Some men are Stalins. Some rulers over the years have killed their millions of people. Not everyone could do that. But we are totally depraved. That is, we fail. And our minds were darkened. And our hearts, our affections were turned in on ourselves. We love self rather than God. And our will is in bondage. It's in bondage to our affections and to our understanding. The problem, we need the light of the Word of God to shine into our hearts, to show us why we need a Savior, why we owed a debt, as they sang that hymn just a few minutes ago. Why is it, how is it that we owed a debt that we couldn't pay? We learn the reason, don't we, from the Word of God. Because God is absolutely righteous. We think about the holiness of God, and I learned this years ago, and it stuck with me. But all these attributes of God, all these characteristics of God, they're all precious. They're all beautiful. His love, his judgment, his wrath, his mercy, his grace, his wisdom. All these attributes of God, think of them as a wagon wheel, if you will. All these spokes going out from the center, and there in the center, the hub. What is it? The holiness of God. And every one of these attributes going out. God's love is holy love. His peace is holy peace. Every one of these attributes is holy. God is holy. Man, by nature, we are unholy. And to come into His presence, we must be as holy as He is. The light must shine into our hearts, and it shines into our hearts through the Word of God, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then it shines in our heart to give, as Paul said there, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The face, the person of Jesus Christ, the glory of God. How that God, through Him, through Christ, how God, His holiness is intact. How can He forgive a sinner? How can He receive a sinner? Because Christ took the sins of His people and paid for them, satisfied God for them. And not only that, but He brought in an everlasting righteousness. We see Him. We see Christ as the one mediator between God and men. When the Word, the light, shines into our heart, we see how Christ, how He's a perfect Savior, the perfect mediator, because He is both God and man. He can lay His hand upon God and He can lay His hand upon me. He's a God-man, the one mediator, only one between holy God and you and I. We see Him fulfilling all the Old Testament types. He's the ark. Noah and his family, they were saved in the ark. What does that picture? Christ! There's therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Just as Noah was saved inside the ark, so all who are in Christ, there's no condemnation. He's the Passover lamb. We see that from the Word of God, don't we? How that God passed over Egypt that night, and in every house where there was no blood applied, what happened? Death. The firstborn in that house died. But where there was blood, and it was a particular kind of blood, wasn't it? It was the blood of the Lamb, that perfect Lamb that was put upon the doorpost. And in the New Testament we read, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We see Him fulfilling that type of that serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness when those snakes, poisonous snakes, bit the people and there was no remedy. Death was sure. No, God gave a remedy. Make a serpent, a brazen serpent, Moses, put it on a pole, and then send the message through the camp. Everyone who's bitten, look to that serpent and be healed. Even our Lord used that, didn't He? We saw that in the Bible study class earlier this morning. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Fire gives light, but fire also gives heat. The written Word of God, when anointed of the Holy Spirit, it warms our heart. It inflames our love. When we hear the Word, when we read the Word of God, hear the Word of God. When we get cold, and spiritually I'm speaking about cold and indifferent to the things of God, what do we need? We need the Word of God. We need to get in the Word, to read the Word, to hear the Word. God, His Word gives fire, puts off warmth into our souls. We see this especially, those two disciples on the day of our Lord's resurrection. You're familiar with this. Those two disciples were walking along the road going to Emmaus. And they were sad, and they were dejected. Their spirits were downcast. And the Lord came along and walked with them, but their eyes were holding. They didn't recognize it was the Lord who was walking with them. And the Lord told them their problem was, you have failed to believe the prophets. What you're talking about, this one who was crucified in Jerusalem, this one that you had thought would be the Messiah, would be the Christ, you have failed to believe the prophets because the prophets spoke of him as a suffering Savior. And then the scripture says the Lord began at Moses and expounded unto those two men the scriptures, all in the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And then, you know, at the end there, when he broke bread with them and they recognized who he was, and then he disappeared out of their sights. One said to the other, "Did not our heart burn within us? Did not our heart burn within us? When did your heart burn within you?" While he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures. Thy word is like a light, and it is like fire. Now, I'll tell you something about this word here, and using that fire, which was to never go out on that altar. Men have tried their best to snuff out God's written word over the years. Haters of God have done their best. I can't recall the man's name, but he was a famous atheist in, I think, probably the 1700s now. But he predicted, he said, in 100 years you won't find a Bible. They'll all be gone. It'll be a thing of the past. And yet in 100 years, when he was lying cold in his grave, the very place where he had said those words they were using to store Bibles in. God's word. Oh no. It's like a fire. It's never going to go out. Men may try. And I think Satan maybe learned a lesson then. And since that time, he's tried to destroy this fire by all these so-called new Bibles that have come out. New translations, which are not translations for the most part. Paraphrases, thinking that somehow we can make the Bible, the Word of God, understandable to lost men and women by the language. No, the Spirit of God must work in a person's heart to give a person light. You must be born again, Nicodemus, or you cannot see the kingdom. You cannot perceive the kingdom of God, the gospel. Well, here's a second thing that I want to speak to us about, that fire that was to never go out. It may be typical of Christ's love for his own. That'll never go out. In John 13 and verse 1, we read these words, "Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, loved them unto the end." Having loved his own which were in the world, loved them unto the end. What do those words, "his own," mean? Is not all mankind his? Yes, he's the creator of all men, no doubt about that. But these words, "his own," having loved his own, they refer to those whom the Father chose from before the foundation of the world and gave to Christ to be members of his mystical body, his own, having loved his own which were in the world. And Christ's love for his people is pictured by this fire that shall never, ever go out. Nothing shall separate one of his own from his love. Right. Nothing. This fire will never go out. This is the fire in the Song of Solomon. We read about this love that many waters cannot quench, neither can floods drown it. There's a fire, just picture in your mind, I like to think of those ships, when there's a fire on a ship and they bring one of these fire ships, I guess you call them, along. And they're just sucking water up out of the ocean, you know, out of the bay or wherever it is. And they've got plenty of supply of water, and they're putting it on the fire, putting it on the fire. The love that God has, the love that Christ has for his people, many waters cannot quench. It'll never be put out. Never. He loves his people with an everlasting love, and in spite of our sins, in spite of our many failures, and all of us have many, don't we? Our many failures. Sometimes I think, oh, I'd love to just start all over, but I'd do the same thing again. The many failures, mistakes, sins, disappointments. But it doesn't quench his love. He loves his own unto the end, and there is no end. From everlasting to everlasting, nothing can separate us from his love. It's like that perpetual fire. It shall never go out. I remember years ago we visited Arlington Cemetery, and I believe this is so. There was a fire burning there at the gravesite of President John Kennedy's, and it is to never go out. It's a perpetual fire. But it will go out one day. It really will. God burns this old earth up, and the heavens and the world. It'll go out. But I'm telling you, the love that Christ has for his people, it will never go out. And the third thing I want to use this fire that is perpetual to be a type of, the love that the child of God has for Christ. It will never go out. It will never go out. It will, no doubt, our love for Christ, it will at times burn brighter, and at times it will burn dimmer. Sad to say, but it's so. But it will never, ever go out. It just won't. We sang that hymn this morning before class, I'm thine, O Lord, I've heard thy voice, and it told of thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. And then on one of the verses, or chorus, Miss Crosby said, there are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow way. That's true. That's certainly true, isn't it? God's love. Think of it like the Pacific Ocean. There's depths to it. There's width. We'll never know in this world. But the love that we have for Christ, it'll never go out. The Apostle Paul said, being confident of this very thing, and I'm confident of this, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We start a lot of projects and we quit and we fail and we give up. God never does. When he starts out to save a sinner, he's not going to stop. He's not going to quit until that sinner is at home with him in heaven. That love's not going to go out. You might ask, but how's that possible? Do you remember in Pilgrim's Progress? And I encourage you, as always, read that book. Read it again. You say, I've read it once. Read it again. Read it again. But in the interpreter's house, Christian went in there, and in one of the places that he was conducted, a room, he saw a fire in the wall. A fire in the wall. And there was a man standing there just pitching water, buckets full of water, buckets full of water, and the fire never went out. What's the deal here? So the man takes him around to the other side of the wall. What does he see? He sees there's a man there pouring buckets of oil on the fire. The fire's never going to go out. The love that we have for Christ. One of the many new covenant promises is, God said, I will not. I'm going to tell you something. When God says something, you can take it to the bank.
That's right.
Right? You can take it to the bank. I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts. Now listen, that they shall not depart from me. They shall not depart from me. Some of God's children, many, have gone through fiery trials, and Satan has been allowed to sift them like he did Peter. But remember when the Lord next appeared to Peter, he said, Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? What was the final conclusion? Lord, you know all things. You know. You know I love thee. He hadn't acted like it, maybe. But that love was there. It'd never go out. And the fourth thing that this fire may be typical of is the fire of God's wrath that shall never go out. The fire of God's wrath shall never go out. When the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging upon that tree, bearing the sins of all of his covenant people, all of his chosen people, suffering the fire of God's wrath, what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ, he swallowed up that fire for his people. He received and satisfied the fire of God's justice, God's wrath for his people. But know this, my friend. The same Greek word which is translated eternal when it speaks of the righteous shall go away into eternal life. That same word, eternal, is translated everlasting. Some shall go away into everlasting punishment. But preacher, you say the righteous shall go into life eternal? No, the Lord said that. The Lord said that. But doesn't the Word of God also say there's none righteous? No, not one. Sure does. Sure does. Well, how then are there any righteous? There are none righteous by birth. There's none righteous by our own works. There's none righteous who do not need to be made righteous. How is that possible? How is anyone made righteous? The very same way that Abraham, the father of the faithful, was made righteous. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Those without this righteousness shall go away into everlasting punishment. The fire which shall never go out. That fire did go out. That fire on that altar. They did their best, even when they went into captivity. They did their best, from what I've read, to preserve that fire. But it eventually disappeared. But the fire of God's love will never go out. Aren't you thankful today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to sing hymn number 506. Meet me there where the tree of life is blooming. Meet me there. Number 506. And let's stand as we sing.